And we're back, Stripes Show Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Bolton. Thank you for making us part of your day. It's the matchup, baby. We're back on a Tuesday. And you know this face next to me. He joins me once every 4 to 5 weeks, comes in, shares with us his top DFS picks, and he's one of the best at it, Brandon Guptill. Brandon, thanks for joining us, my man. I hope you're doing well.
Doing well. Hot, humid, and August weather this time of year. So getting through it all, but I'm enjoying it. I'm glad to be on again with you and looking forward to breaking down this another back-to-back no-cut event for us to look at.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they didn't get paid for it last week, right? It was the Olympics, and they were there on their own dollar, I guess. And, you know, a lot of them came back inspired, right? Rory McIlroy, who's in the field, I think went over there, as he said, quote, "I'm playing in the Olympics because I feel like it's the right thing to do." I don't think he was too excited when he got there, but when he left, he was inspired. He totally bought in, and the Olympic spirit. JT was all in, of course, Hideki. Can you imagine, Gup, South Korea, Sungjae and Siwoo, the pressure they had to feel to medal in order to not have to join the military? I mean, I'm trying to get into Olympic golf. I'll be honest. I watched a little bit of it. It's new for us in the States. We've been so wired around the four major championships, the fifth major, the Players, and now the WGC, right? That was kind of pushed upon us there. Bought into that. Now, hey, it's the playoffs, right? We got to buy into that. Ryder Cup, President's Cup, Olympics. You know, there's a lot here to get excited about. It came on at 10:15 p.m. That's when the leaders teed off. I get it. I think the Olympics is great for the sport of golf, but I think there's certainly more runway and reps to be had before it starts to kind of climb the ladder into the tournament that we have this week in the WGC. Did you get to watch the Olympics at all?
I did. I, like yourself, didn't know how big it would be in the industry or speaking of DraftKings, FanDuel, that, you know, so when the schedule came out, I'd kind of planned like my time off and away with the family for that week because, you know, we hadn't had a tournament off since the new year. And then now I'm rolling into NFL, college football, all that kind of stuff for the fall. Plus still golf will be plenty to had in the fall. So I didn't plan a lot. And then DraftKings not only came out with it, but some pretty good contests. So, I mean, there was some peaks in interest. So I definitely covered it all the way up until lock, but it did make it a little bit tough with, you know, like you said, you know, Saturday night, the leaders didn't even tee off till almost 10:30 at night, your time, 9:30 mine. You know, it's weird because, you know, JT talked about it and they asked him, you know, well, what if this, because it didn't feel like a Team USA, Team Japan. I mean, it still felt like an individual tournament representing their country. But I don't, you know, if you did a team deal, I don't know that how they would ever make it equitable and fair versus when all the, you know, what, how many of the top 20 in the world are USA or the Euro type deal. So I don't know how they can improve it. It'll be interesting to see when it's here in the USA. So 2028, I believe, it's going to be at the Riv to see if there's any more. And we have also had, you know, somewhat of issues around the first two times with, you know, Zika back in 2016. So a lot of golfers didn't go this year with COVID. Some passed on it. I don't know if that's why DJ Brooks and those guys didn't want to, but maybe if we get a, you know, everybody's in and it's a little bit different time zone, there's more interest. But I agree with you. There's already so much going on, especially the year that it falls on a Ryder Cup, that not the highest of, you know, priorities, but it was enjoyable, especially, I mean, to see a seven man playoff for third was kind of neat. Cause that's something you don't normally, no one really care. I mean, not that I don't care about third in the PGA tournament, but there's not a playoff for it. So, and Rory spoke about that. So a little unusual there, you know, Xander's already got his gold medal and these guys are still battling out for third. So it was a unique finish. I thought it was good, but like you said, for us being 13 hours apart and it's nothing you could record. And I mean, this day and age, we can't shut our phones off or notifications or any of that. So you got to either watch it live or you're going to wake up and know what happened.
Yeah, there just needs to be, I think, some history now. You know, you got Justin Rose, of course, winning the gold, and now Xander Schauffele. And they've got two more Olympics in the next 7 years. Remember, we got bumped a year here. So they go to Paris in 2024 and then here in California in 2028, as you mentioned, Riviera. So they got a little runway here. you know, to put the staple, I think, a little bit more into the Olympic Games with golf, if that's what they so choose to do. The women, of course, this week, the men back in the States, another no field event, 66 players. This time they will be paid and they will get a paycheck just by hitting one shot if they so incline. 19 of those players that were in Japan are in the field this week. That's a big ask, I would imagine, with all the change in time coming from Tokyo now over to Memphis, Tennessee, where it's going to be hot. TPC Southwind. I got to tell you, I think one of the more underrated golf courses on the PGA Tour. Love this place. It's a golf course that has a lot of water. It has the most water balls on the PGA Tour, and you consider a short field, certainly the most water balls per player in the field. TPC Sawgrass is up there. We were talking before we went on air, the 3M Open at TPC Twin Cities now is starting to jump up there with that diabolical 18th hole, and that wind shifts directions. Look out. But you're going to see some water balls here as well, more than perhaps any other event on the PGA Tour. TPC Southwind, about 7,200 yards, par 70, back on Bermuda greens. Of course, that's going to challenge the player. And Gup, as you look at some of the metrics that you're going to be really keying in on this week, I think historically the one for me, strokes gained tee to green, really stands out. And this is a golf course that perhaps more than any other, you can certainly ball strike your way to a title here. You don't have to blitz it with the putter. In fact, last year when JT won, he lost strokes with the putter, but was just simply magnificent from tee to green. What else are you looking at?
Yeah, and I think 2 years ago, Brooks, if he didn't lose strokes, he was even at best putting. So that's certainly, and you go back to even before it switched over to WGC, and you had DJ Berger, DJ Brooks was second. So you can see these, I mean, big boys show up here and win it, whether it was St. Jude, you know, back in 2018 or moved over to the WGC format. But I think, and you listen to player, you know, press conferences and read back on my notes from the last 2 years being here, without a doubt, most they say you got to find the fairways. Rough is thick here. You're familiar as I am with thick Bermuda rough. It's not easy to advance the ball, and you're not necessarily, you may be able to advance it. These guys certainly will, but the odds of them getting it, you know, proximity close to the hole is going to be, you know, very small. So they know hitting the fairway. So for me, you know, accurate drives, but you still need some length. I mean, like you said, 7,300 for a par 70 is somewhat long. Ball's going to fly here. Like you said, it's hot here. It's humid. It's going to roll out. It's been hot in this area, a little cool down this week, but not much. So I'm definitely looking for guys that are, you know, great off the tee, hidden fairways, or, you know, very close to the fairways, you know, kind of like a good drives that guys can advance it. And like you said, irons, you know, got to have great approach around here. Getting up and down is important from a DFS perspective. I mean, you got to look for scores in this. When you get a guaranteed 4 days, so unless someone withdraws, there is no cut. These guys are all going to play. This is a situation where your Cam Davises, Cam Champs, even Wolf, you know, they are cheaper this week, but they may outscore their finishing position because, you know, we saw Cam Davis at 3M Open. You know, I think Saturday he had 6 birdies and a quad on that 18, I think is where he got it. And his finish position was low, but he scored well, especially in a no cut event. Now, Sunday he goes and gets 7 birdies. So even though he finished, I think 28th or something, would have scored really well in DraftKings. So I'm still looking for guys that can score over a 4 day period in any kind of no cut event. And then, you know, there is some bogey avoidance because I think mentally you want guys to be in it come Sunday and have a chance at it. But, you know, I'm definitely looking, like you said, great drives and approach is going to be the key this week. It is a very unique situation for the PGA Tour where putting isn't, at the end of the day, isn't as weighted as heavy as normal. When you look at all the prior winners, at least I went back 6 years, compared to the average on tour, because we always talk about you need a hot putter. I don't necessarily think you need that here. And big boys seem to show up. So it's really going to, you know, you spend a lot of time up top and figuring out who you think is going to have a good chance to win. We get a little bit of a curved ball this week with the guys we got to factor in that's either played the British Open, you know, then Japan, stayed over there. Some of these guys, Patrick Reed, went from the British Open back to the 3M Open, back to Japan, back to here. How much do we factor that in is going to be a big deal as well.
Yeah, the big boys do show up. DJ's won twice. Daniel Berger loves this place. He's won here. And remember, the WGC used to be the Bridgestone Invitational. The last year up at Firestone was 2018. And now they move over here. Brooks Koepka won in 19. And then, of course, Justin Thomas won in 2020. So those are that's the who's who, you know, of the list. When you look at who's won here, and then other players that have played well. I mean, there's Webb. We haven't heard much from him. Maybe this could be a breakout week for him. Phil's played well here. Harris English has won on this golf course. A guy that comes in winning twice now, you know, on tour. So he's an interesting name to take a look at. So let's get into it. The way we do it here on the matchup, we're going to go into the each category of pricing. We'll start with the top range here, the 11K, 10K. We'll touch on all of them, then give you our best pick that we like there. And of course, Gup and I, we play all kinds of lineups. We'll be doing different things, but we'll give you a name that we like in the top portion there. And then we'll go to the nines, do the same thing. Do the same thing in the eights, do a little something different in the sevens, where we just kind of go down the list and tell you who we're going to be playing in multiple lineups. And then we'll give you a couple names to think about in the 6,000s as well. And I think with 66 people in the field, I think we might darn near touch every player this week on the matchup. Let's get to it. The top range. Colin Morikawa, two-time major winner. He kicks things off at 11,000. Gold medalist Xander Schauffele, 10-8. There's Koepka, 10-6. Spieth back in the field, 10-4. DJ, 10,200. And Rory McIlroy, the inspired Olympic player. In fact, he'll play inspired golf perhaps here into the month of August. He is at 10,000. Take me to a name. Clean slate, Gup, top players in the field. No Rahm, though. Who you like?
Yeah, it's close to me for my favorite between Brooks and DJ based on history, based on could be a little more rested than the guys that have been over in Japan. But I got to go Brooks. I mean, we know he shows up in big time of tournaments. He's shown up here, as you mentioned, won in 2019, lost to JT last year, had every chance to win it. JT kind of took it from him. Back in 2016, he finished second here as well when it was, you know, full field event. So obviously loves the place. The Georgia fairways here are so pure, and if he's driving the ball well, which there's no reason for us to think he won't, especially how well he played at the Open, it's hard not to go to him. And so I like him. I'm interested to kind of grasp the pulse of the industry type to see how many people are willing to just move off of Morikawa, who's, you know, probably one of the best ball strikers on planet Earth right now, and then Schauffele off the win, typically a no cut master, but. You know, is he have a little bit of a letdown week type deal? For me, I'm hoping people don't fade him, because I want to get Brooks a little lower owned. But I have a feeling people are going to drop to him, and so ownership could come in. But out of all these guys, just clean slate, I definitely like Brooks the most right now.
Yeah, Koepka, just incredible golf. Last three events, fourth at the U.S. Open, fifth at the Travelers, sixth at the U.S. Open. As I mentioned in the beginning, strokes hit tee to green. That's how you win here. You don't have to have a crazy hot putter. I mean, that just screams Colin Morikawa, doesn't it? I mean, as far as his DNA. And what's crazy and very scary, at the Olympics, he didn't hit the ball that good and still finished fourth. You know, now I know it wasn't the best field, but his ball striking to his standard was not exceptional like we usually see in the approach game. And there he is finishing fourth. If Colin Morikawa starts beating and winning with his putter, everybody's in trouble, everybody, because he's on his way to being the number one player in the world. Yeah, it's tough to come off of Brooks. DJ, you're still trying to hold on to something there. It's been really, for the most part, a very difficult year for Dustin Johnson. We're kind of waiting. Will he kind of break out? We know he certainly can get it going. I find myself further along with JT on that breakout than maybe Dustin. So I'm certainly going to pass on Dustin here this week. Xander, how much does he have left in the tank coming back from Tokyo, the emotional win? He was sixth here in 2020. He certainly hasn't blitzed this course, though. I mean, there's certainly other courses that that he's played well. One that comes to mind will be at the end of August, which he'll be there at Eastlake. And if he's even close to winning the title, you'll certainly have to take a long look at Xander because he loves Eastlake. Spieth hasn't played that great here, but of course we're talking, he was in a drought. This is a different Jordan Spieth coming in to this event this year than last year where he finished T30. 2019, he was T12. Rory was T47 last year. Before that, you're looking at three straight top sixes. Now, Firestone was sprinkled in there. So Rory, really on brand, wasn't it, last week? He was, kind of inspired by the Olympics. It's what it feels like it comes down to with Rory, right? I mean, are you inspired and focused to play great golf? He's so talented that he can just cruise and finish in the top 10. But when you're paying this kind of price, you certainly want a focused Rory McIlroy. I hate to say it, but I think I agree with you, Gup. Koepka, that's going to be your boy, I would imagine, here in this range. I'll come off of that. I'll give you my second pick. I'll go with Spieth. I just think Spieth is rolling right now. Everything that I'm hearing, he's just continuing to surge forward. Jordan Spieth climbing the rankings here in the official World Golf rankings. I think he comes in here and keeps a great play going here on the top end. But, I mean, how can you not like Colin Morikawa here, right? He's going to be absolutely played, isn't he?
I would think so, because I think most people, if they're choosing between Morikawa or Schauffele, they'll go Morikawa, A, for what you said, any kind of statistical database website you're using, whether it's ours or Fantasy National, whatever, he's going to be up there when you're looking at tee to green stats. And, whatever weird reason in golf, when people win or like that, they tend to be faded the next week. It's like, well, you can't go back to back, which could make, Xander a good play if he winds up being super low owned. I do agree with you that Dustin will be probably one of the lowest owned up here, just because he hasn't been there. And that's how it's been the case for a while. So, I mean, I'm going to continue to play a low owned Dustin. I don't think he'll be chalky in any way, shape or form, but Morikawa, he's scary. I mean, he's a scary guy not to play, especially this type of deal. He's going to be another 4 weeks. And most of these guys are not going to play the Wyndham next week. They're going to take that break off before the playoffs. So, a lot of these guys, this is their last chance to improve their FedEx Cup, so they can try to get into, like you said, Eastlake. So I think everybody that's here is going to be focused and ready to go. But, man, it's those guys that travel. Plus, like you said, Xander he even mentioned having a little bit of a good time that evening afterwards. Well-deserved. But you probably know better than I. I don't know how – I mean, these guys are going to take charters and all that. The biggest difference here is there's like a 13-hour time difference.
Yeah.
Getting that routine back in, right back into another big tournament. That's something to see how much people factor that. I'm not a full fade of all the guys. It's almost impossible because of how many were over there. But I agree with you there on Spieth as a second pick. I think he'll probably be somewhat low on with all these guys around him as well.
Yeah. That's the one that's going to be interesting to me is Spieth. Look at strokes gained tee to green. That's the metric we've kind of focused in on here. Last 50 rounds, no surprise, Colin is first. Brooks Koepka second to your pick. There's Spieth in this field is ninth. So in the field, strokes gained tee to green last 50 rounds. Schauffele is 11th, McIlroy 12th, DJ 13th. Just give you a little feel for where the guys are at. Top 50 strokes gained, last 50 rounds, strokes gained tee to green. All right, let's move on. 9,000s. There's JT. You don't see that very often. 9,900. It just feels close. It feels close. I played him last week. Saw a good round on Sunday. Can he come back and defend? Of course, he was in Tokyo, so he'll be probably a little lethargic, I would imagine, by the time he gets over here. Victor Hovland, he was in Tokyo, 9,700. Louis Oosthuizen in 96. Bryson all the way down at 95. Goodness gracious, he hasn't played well here in the past. Hideki, 94. Patrick Cantlay, interesting name at 93. Berger loves this place, 9,200. Scottie Scheffler still looking for that first win at 91. And Paul Casey at 9,000. Strokes gained tee to green. last 50 rounds in this group, Cantlay is your top guy. He's fourth in the field. JT is sixth in the field. And no surprise, Paul Casey is seventh in the field. Anybody you just look at, you're like, I'll pass in the 9,000s.
Yeah, Bryson, I can't get there. If I'm doing, 50 to 150 lineups and he winds up, he's been flirting with that 5 to 8% lately. You may take a nibble there, but he's a guy that I would like to hear a press conference to see if he comes and goes, man, I know I got to hit fairways this week. I may dial it back. The bomb and gouge and hitting out of the rough, it just isn't going to work here. Because if he doesn't, I just don't see. And not only that, you get way offline like he has been. You're bringing a lot of the water into play. So now a miss isn't just chunk it out of the rough. It's now I got to either, drop it, re-tee, whatever. I don't know if he can make up that much if he's just going to not want to be in. Now if he's bombing his driver down the middle of the fairway, which we have not seen, of late, he's definitely in play. But even then, his iron game hasn't been what it was when he was on top of the world, a year ago. So there's so many things there that I don't really like. This isn't breaking news. I'm sure he's gonna be one of the lower owned in this area because of all that, but I can't play him at this. This is not a good course for him. I think he may pop once before this FedEx is all over somewhere, but I don't think it's here.
I think that one of the interesting names to me is going to be Hovland here. We know he can go strokes gain approach, strokes gain tee to green. Take a little bit of emphasis off the putter. We know his short game can get a little clunky from time to time. He's only had one start here. He made the cut, T59. His best split, though, is in that Bermuda range. I would think Hovland likes this place, I would think, right? Doesn't have a long track record here, but if you had to go inside the camp of Victor Hovland, I would think he would be okay with precision off the tee, proximity into the greens, and kind of wearing you out from fairways and greens. I mean, that's kind of what he can do. He was 12th at the Open Championship. Hasn't been playing the best golf that we've seen from him, say, back in earlier in May when he was third at the Wells Fargo, third at the Valspar. We saw him even earlier in the year, January, February, where he had a run of three top fives. So, can he get back to that form? I think is kind of an interesting name there. I think of all the people, and I'm probably a bit of a homer for JT, but I agree with you. I don't like the Bryson. Hideki, man, there's got to be some emotional letdown coming, I think, from the Olympics there. He seemed a little frustrated afterwards. There were no, quote, positives from the week. Like, wow, that's a big statement. So I think he had a little bit of a letdown there, but JT to me, I think you really have to look at Berger here. He clearly just loves this golf course, has played so well here. And I like Cantlay too. I think those are the three names that I'm kind of focusing in on. I mean, I know Louis is playing so good and it's almost damn near a guarantee a top five, but I'll pass on Louis here. He was T6 last year. Thomas, though, two wins in the last 3 years, just waiting for that putter to warm up just a little bit, right? Just, I know you don't have to have a great putting week, but this putter's been chilly. I thought I saw some good signs from JT on the weekend. Just feels like the roof's about ready to come off with JT. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to birdie 7 of 10 holes, and it's like, he's back. And why not? On a surface that he likes, he's done pretty good here in the past. So I'll lean a little bit. I'm going to start some lineups, I think, with the JT Hovland duo, and then go from there. That'll be on a couple cards, and I'll definitely sprinkle in some Berger and Cantlay as well.
Rapsodo Mobile Launch Monitor, improve your golf swing today. Pro level launch data in the palm of your hand. It is very accurate within 2% of a $20,000 unit. The Rapsodo MLM app automatically tracks stats and stores video with Shot Tracer, helpful for club gapping and understanding true distances for each club. Rapsodo MLM provides immediate feedback data and creates a better practice environment, not mindlessly hitting balls. Extremely portable, case is about the size of a rangefinder. And you know what? You can use it both indoors and outdoors. I love this launch monitor. It's the Rapsodo Mobile Launch Monitor. Check it out at rapsodo.com, R-A-P-S-O-D-O.com, rapsodo.com.
Yeah, I did my show last night, and then, you know, doing some modeling simulation type deals on the lineup construction, and I talked about it on my, we'll get to the eights in a minute, but I really feel like that's going to be the zone where no one goes, because there are some very solid undervalued plays in the 7K and 6K, just cheap guys that have that upside in this kind of event, that I think the nines and tens are going to get peppered pretty well, where generally, you know, you got to find someone in the eight to balance it out or whatever. I don't think there's a lot of question marks in that range. A lot of guys that played last week. And so I love both these. And I think I'm just going to take the approach this week to eliminate one or two from the 10 and nines. And I'm going to play a lot of these guys and then just litter down low in the sevens and sixes, because there's so many guys I like down there. But Hovland did surprise me. So I went back and looked. I was like, man, he finished almost dead last year, being that it was, you know, a WGC. So there's only 70 guys or whatever in 59th. That dude found more water than, I mean, I think maybe it was just his first time seeing it. I hope that people, like you just said, see that, oh man, he almost finished last year, get off of him, doesn't like this place or whatever. I'll take it. You know, it's a 1 year sample, maybe wasn't as familiar, had a bunch of, I think, came out 300, and then second round, I think he had six bogeys and a double and found five water penalties. It was just a crazy day to set you back. So I don't hate that. My favorite play just off the shoot is Scotty Scheffler. I think he's playing, it was him or Berger, but I think Berger will be very popular with the history. And by the time everybody talks about how many times he's won here or been second, 100% agree with you on JT. That's going to be a tough call for me, because I did go to him last week. He wasn't really being talked up a whole lot. I was hoping he would pull the whole game together, started slow, obviously finished very well on the weekend, got to 10 under, I believe. So I like that. I just know that anytime he's in the nine, he does get somewhat popular. I don't mind going there at all. I love the play, and especially we talked about putting may not be as big here, and so that may be advantageous for him. But I'm gonna go with Scheffler. I think his game, just he's on the verge too of, can he get to that next level? Like he shows up in the big boy events. You know, this year all the majors he's done well, WGCs he's done well. He was 15th here last year, and that was, you know, as basically a rookie. You know, I like everything about him. Eighth at the British Open. He's decent on Bermuda, better on bent, but pretty decent on Bermuda. And tee to green, I just really like him. And I don't know if he'll go under the radar at all, but I like Scheffler this week. Do you have any interest in him?
Yeah, I think with Scheffler, you're seeing kind of a steady improvement in the approach game. You know, we know he usually always lives off the strokes and off the tee. He's always kind of gobbling it up. Nice driver of the ball. I think in the approach game, you're seeing a nice little run here from here. And then, you know, he's had a couple big putting weeks, you know, over the last 3 months. U.S. Open, he kind of rode the putter. He was positive 8.7, where he finished seventh. But, yeah, I like where he's trending in the approach game. You know, talking with his coach, Randy Smith, some this year, you know, that's kind of, I think the focus is just, for them, is keeping that approach game moving the right way. And perhaps what's holding him back a little bit on getting that win, right? If he could move the needle a little more towards a JT, Colin Morikawa type of precision with the iron game, you certainly like Scotty Scheffler getting that win. Yeah. So I could certainly go there with Scheffler. I think I mentioned Hovland made the cut. Of course he made the cut. There is a no cut. And it was a T56. And I agree with you. It was just kind of a weird kind of week for him here. So I find myself wanting to come back to him. But JT certainly is the name. I'll be starting some lineups in the 9,000s for sure. I got to stay with JT. Sometimes I'll jump off. I think it's coming. I was on him last week. I'm going to get back on him again this week. I'll give you JT in the matchup. Who you got?
I'll take Scheffler. Yeah, and I agree with you. I think this week starting, I don't hate starting two or three guys in the 9K and then dropping down. I think that could be a way to get unique. But I don't hate JT by any means, but I'll go Scheffler in here.
Well, here comes some great names in the 8,000s, as you mentioned, right? Yeah. Let's get to them. There's Finau at 8,900. Hasn't played great here at Southwind. Fitzpatrick has T6, 20, 20, T4, 19. He's done it more of this putter, though. There's Reed, 8,700. Patrick's going to play every event. Doesn't matter where it is, what time it starts, Patrick Reed will be there. He's 87. Lowry, coming over from Tokyo, 86. Webb, where are you? 8,500. Is this the week? Neiman, 84, coming from Tokyo. Answer, 83, coming from Tokyo. Smith, 8,200, coming from Tokyo. Corey Connors, interesting name, 8,100. There's Fleetwood at 8,000. A lot of guys there in this group coming from Tokyo. In the 8,000s, I'm going to pass on Finau. You think Fitzpatrick can keep it rolling, Gup? You think he's not, you know, he's kind of driver and putter. That's his game, right? Can he do enough with the approach like he's done perhaps the last 2 years?
Yeah, he's a guy I just never, A, get right, or B, play a whole lot of. I just never, and I actually, you know, I mentioned it, you know, on my pod that I hate this range this week. I will not have very much of any, but I always give, you know, a few picks and a bubble pick on mine. So I had to dive in there and get them. But he was one of them that I had up there as that I like. Obviously likes the course, has played it well the last 2 years. I don't know how much I'll have of them. I'm kind of going to wait to see how ownership, you know, shakes out down here. The guys I like are all coming over from Japan, so you kind of factoring that in, we're going to get to in a minute, there's so many names in the 7K and even six that I like that I'm like, well, I'd just rather drop down to, you know, English, Zalatoris, these guys, and save the money and be able to pay up to getting more of the JTs and the guys we've already that I really do like. But I would out of this range, yes, I could get to Fitzpatrick this week just because he, you know, based on his history, we know he's always gonna have a solid putter. But my favorite in the zone is going to be, and I always go to him, it's going to be Neiman. It just, when you talk about tee to green,
he's Neiman.
Yeah, I like him. I think he'll be around. He didn't play it. He's like Hovland. First time seeing it last year, didn't play it too great, but typically a guy that always keeps it in the fairway more than often, and he can get hot and make a lot of birdies. We just saw him, a few weeks ago go bogey free in an entire tournament until the playoffs. So, all those things considered, avoiding that kind of thing, I think he does well. And so I like him. If I'm coming here, Neiman's probably my top pick.
You look at TPC Southwind historically here, WGC, and then even before it wasn't a WGC, last 50 rounds, DJ's been the best, Koepka second, Berger third. We've talked about them. Fitzpatrick is sixth, strokes gained total. As I mentioned, he's done it with his putter. He's been the second best putter over that span. And then strokes gained tee to green, 34. So that just gives you an idea. Like, he's in the middle of the pack when it comes from tee to green, but he does it with this putter. And he's kind of went against, upstream a little bit from what we've seen, right, as far as him doing that. So he certainly loves these greens. Webb is seventh. I think Webb's an interesting name here for me in the 85s. We're kind of waiting for Webb. He's got to make a splash. I believe he's getting much closer now to 100%. I'm kind of like you. There are some big names here, and I'm probably going to roll the dice a bit on Webb, believe it or not. I think he likes his place. I think he's getting close. We know what he can do when he's closer to 100%. He just hadn't been there, most of the year. And I think he's a name that I will go to. Reed, how much does he have in the tank? And Lowry. Lowry's played well here. I think Lowry's a name at 8,600. He's down there. He's in the top 10 as far as strokes gained total last 50 rounds here. So that's a name that I'll probably throw in there, is a Shane Lowry. And I'll try to get ahead of the curve here, the uptick, with Webb Simpson. Of the two, I'll take Lowry.
Yeah, Lowry was actually my second pick, okay. So I do like Lowry. You know, Neiman's going to be my pick for the range, but he was my second option in the range. I like him. Probably be popular. He's generally a popular guy. Been playing well, you know, British Open and everything. So I don't hate that at all. And I do agree with you on Webb. I think, and I'd never play Webb ever. Normally he's super popular. So I don't think we'll see that this week. Does have decent history here. It could be a spot to go to. If you get in, you know, for all intents and purposes, these guys are, this is their down, the, you know, coming down the backstretch to finish their season. And so, like, he may play Wyndham. I think he always plays Wyndham, but, you know, he hadn't played a lot. So if he wants to get up in that FedEx, I think he'll be focused and motivated this week. But, you know, I don't mind that either. I think all those are great. Neiman will be my official pick, but I don't mind Lowry either.
All right. I'll sprinkle in Connors too. He's ball strike his way here. The putter's let him down. He's got to do a little bit more with the putter, which is usually the case with Corey.
Correct.
So at 8,100, probably appropriately placed, I'll pass on Fleetwood, which I know will be littered with win tickets across the world of Twitter. For some reason, people love them some Tommy Fleetwood. All right, let's go to the 7,000s. The way we do it, we're just going to start clipping them off here one at a time. You stop me when you find someone that is of interest to you. All right, here we go. 7,900. I know you're going to stop me here because he's your boy with Neiman. Will Zalatoris, 79. Is Will going to make – is he going to get back to where we were, or do I keep going?
Oh, no, yeah. Unless he's one that I'm scratching and clawing to find information to make sure that back or tweak or whatever he did on that 15th hole at the Open – which was brutal for my week that week. I had a lot of them. He was minus one. I felt he would have been somewhat in contention on the week. But when we're talking about ball striking and hitting it great and a weak putter, you know, that's Zalatoris to a T. And so a place like this, I'll at 7,900, I'll be so overweight on him. Yeah. I'll take him every week as long as I feel. And actually, I kind of hope maybe I just roll the dice no matter what. And some people stay off of him if we don't get clarity of the injury. Now, most people would say, well, if they're here, they're good to go. Well, maybe not this week because, you know, you're getting money, but you got to – I don't know. I know they changed something up after the Berger deal because they didn't like the image, and I don't remember exactly what the new rule was. I know it was I want to say something about if you decide you wanted to withdraw, they'd still pay you, but it had to go to a charity or something. I don't remember how they changed it after the Berger deal, but – regardless, I think these guys are, unless I hear something that he's still agonizing over, I'm going to play him. I don't have any doubt, especially at that price. If he was 9,000, maybe right. I have to think about it, but 7,900, that was the first thing that popped out to me on the board. I was like, 7,900, all in on that. I'd take him over every single guy in the 8K range right now.
You know, it's funny when Will came out, you know, I followed him on the Korn Ferry Tour, had him on the podcast actually, right before he left for Corrales. I interviewed him Monday after the U.S. Open. And, you know, just watching his career, I thought he was kind of overachieving with the putter, you know, when he first got out there. You know, we knew he could strike it. His iron game was good. But the putter was like, I was really surprised how well he's putting. The putter's caught up to him now lately. He's got a run of, let's see, 6 events in the negative strokes gained putting. So you have to go all the way back to the RBC Heritage in April where he was positive 3.8. So he's... you know, he's looking to regroup there a little bit. And I think what happens when you start getting that consistency of that negative putter, then it starts to leak into other parts of your game, right? So the approach game starts to kind of go down a little bit, which it has a touch for him. He's still, you know, you still have to bank on him being a great iron player. So this could be a good get right week for him, Cup. You know, this is a good place for him, I would think. He's never played here before, but I would think in these practice rounds, he's licking his chops as far as what this is asking the player to do as far as keep it in front of them off the tee in proximity into the greens. Kokrak comes in at 78, T44 last year.
Yeah.
Passed. Sungjae, 77. Pass. I think Harris English is a really interesting name at 76. I really do. He hasn't played here since 2000. He hasn't played. Let's see. 16, I have to go back. I need to look at that. He hasn't played here. It's been probably 5 or 6 years at this course, but he's won here. Back in standby, Harris English won this tournament. Didn't he win this tournament? Or am I dreaming that? I think I'm dreaming that Harris English has not won this tournament. Yeah, never mind. Harris English.
I always go back to 2016 and it doesn't. Yeah, he did. 2013.
Okay. Yeah. There we go.
Yep. Yep. Beat Phil and Scott Stallings. Yep.
I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's been a while, though, since he's played here at.
Correct.
Back at Southwind. A really interesting name. Obviously, Harris has had a fantastic year. You have any interest in him here, 76?
I do. I mentioned him as a bubble boy in my world yesterday. And the only reason why I had him there is I have a feeling that when he tends to be a popular play, he's a real popular play. Like a lot of people gravitate to him. If ownership isn't just crazy, I do like him. He looks so good when he's on. I've start to notice him and DJ seem to play well at some of the similar courses. You remember they battled here, maybe not here, but when DJ ran away, last year, a year before, shoot 30 under, the guy that got second was English. DJ's won here, English has won here. I don't know how much that correlates, but I have noticed that a little bit, that they seem to play at the same places. And I pay attention to a lot of DJ, but I think his game's on the upswing. And I think he's one of those guys that, I believe he's right on the bubble or close to on the Ryder Cup deal of getting the auto bid, and obviously FedEx Cup coming. There's a lot to happen for an English type player in the next 4 to 5 weeks. So I don't mind him at all. I just don't want to be super, I don't like a chalky Harris English tech necessarily in the DraftKings world, but I do like him. He's one of the guys that I had on there. I do like, you said Sungjae, I didn't jump in there. I think Sungjae and maybe even Siwoo will be overlooked this week because people think, the demoral, but listen, we know Sungjae. We talk about Patrick Reed playing every week. Sungjae plays more than anybody in the world. a 35th here last year, nothing great, but at 7,700, I think a lot of people will just glaze over him, think, oh, well, he's going to be demoralized from not winning a medal, yada, yada. I don't mind going to him and it could be a pivot off of English. I don't know who's going to be. I think there's going to be enough ownership spread out here because it's going to be a very popular zone that I tend to – people think, oh, chalky, chalky, chalky. And then it's like, well, at the end of the day, everybody's kind of peppered. So no one really gets too high owned. So I don't mind that Sungjae kind of sneaking in there. The travel and all that's going to factor in. But English, see, he wasn't over in Japan. So it's a plus to me if you're looking at a tiebreaker deal. So I agree with you on English. See how popular he gets, but I hope he kind of goes under the radar.
That's an interesting point. It really is with him. He's only played here one time. So, T35. And, we know he can get it going. So I think that's a fair point. Harmon, I'll probably pass at 75. Hatton 74. Hatton's Hatton's not playing great. Hatton's lost his putter. That's he can go. He's got a solid game. We know he can live in the positive off the tee approach for the most part. But right now it just feels like his putter's kind of regressed. And for someone who I think leans on his putter a bit, hasn't played well here in the past, I'll pass. Sergio, I think, is a name that I will play. T35, T40, that's kind of what we've looked at the last 2 years. My God, he's hitting the ball good. I mean, just any like pulse with the putter, like just show that it's still breathing to a degree with Sergio, it'll be worth the play at 7,300, right? I mean, I'm going to play Sergio for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest deal is we want them to win, right? Anybody you play, you want to feel like they have a win or an upside there. But at the price, I mean, if he comes in here and finishes ninth, he's going to well more than pay his price off. And, somewhat lower, little lower than I thought he'd be in this field. But again, we talk about team no putt, tee to green. I mean, he's going to be in the top five or eight, you know, in that, in general, most weeks. I mean, I think it was a 3M Open. He lost seven strokes putting and finished 25th. You don't lose seven strokes putting and finish 25th.
That's amazing.
That's an incredible ball striking, you know, display to lose that and still come in the top 25.
That's amazing.
I like him as well. I think he was right on my list too. So I have no issues with Sergio.
Adam Scott, 7,200. I'll play Billy at 71. I think Billy will probably get some good interest here. He, and you look at the last 50 rounds, he's fifth at TPC Southwind. He likes it here. Billy, you kind of get those fast Bermuda greens. Sign me up for Billy Horschel, right? Like he likes those. he'll like next week too.
Yeah. Much like Webb, I never can get him right or play him in the right spots, but he was on my gut feel plays. I picked four guys that may not pop on any certain things, and he was one of them, and I never really go there, but I agree with you there. And 7,100 is a good price for him. Mm-hmm. It's 4 days guarantee. I mean, I can see him being right there in contention come Sunday.
Yeah, I can too. I think he's a good play. Top 10 back in 2019, T25 in 2020. Leishman had a couple good events here. 19, he was third. Probably pass. I like Billy more. I like Billy more than Rose at 7,000.
Me too.
I do like Ian Poulter at 7,000 though. I think Ian's playing some good golf and he's played well here. In the past, in this event. So I think I'll sprinkle in some 7,000 Ian Poulter along with Horschel at 71. No,
one of my notes I had for my deep dive today was to figure out when not only the USA, but also the Euro, when their auto qualification stopped. Because I know any kind of rider year, he wants to make that team and is pushing hard. Not that that's the end all be all, but I didn't know if Euro had already, I don't think anybody's locked in their auto bids yet. So anytime he can come out and do well and try to get up in that auto qualification over there, he's going to do it. He wants to play in the Ryder Cup. So I always have that as an asterisk. And especially in this type of event, you know, 7,000, you know, he's very cheap. An eighth here 2 years ago. Yeah. I don't mind him at all.
All right, let's get to the 6,000. Two names. I'll let you go first. I have a feeling I know what this first one's going to be, but I'll wait to hear it.
I don't know if I'll surprise you or not. I have several that I like, but I'm going to go to Wilco Nienaber. I love him. I was nice on him when he came out, had a great week several weeks back. I hope he doesn't get too talked up but at 6K, I mean, the men, he makes so much stuff work and very limited data, obviously, in our databases with him. But, you know, he was number one in four of the six categories I looked at this week. Again, I know very limited, so I'm very aware of that. But, you know, and he's top 20 in putting splits on Bermuda, you know, limited database, so he could come out and stink the joint up. But for his price and that, his ceiling, just a guy that I watching him, I was you know, memorized by him. He's one of the guys that climbing my list of guys I like quickly. So I like him this week a lot at 6K.
Yeah, that you did surprise me with Wilco. He can bomb it.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's silly watching him hit a golf ball. Like, you're like, wait, that went 300 and how far? You know, and it's just fairly
accurate.
Too.
He's fairly accurate with it, at least the short samples we have. He's not
blowing. We're on a kind of a fun week coming up on the podcast where we go three straight days of Wilco, Higo, and Guido.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That'll be fun, right? I've really enjoyed those three this year and following their career. So stand by. On that, I'll give you Lucas Glover, 64. I mean, look, one earlier. You're telling me that I got to strike the ball and the putter's kind of secondary. All right. It's Lucas Glover all day long. So I think obviously Lucas is playing well. He's got some confidence. He's rested. and he's playing on house money. He's in a WGC feat. He's in a WGC for Lucas Glover. He's got to be feeling like, I'm on top of the world. I'm playing great golf, and I love this golf course because I got to be precise off the tee and into the green. That's Lucas Glover, you know, and just get any hint of the putter at 64. So I'm in on Lucas, and he's been good to me this year. Lucas Glover, we've been tracking nicely with his play. All right, who else you got? One more.
This is very close. They're both the same price on the two I was choosing between, but you're on Bermuda Burns. I think he's outside of Del Torres, probably the most mispriced in the field at 6,900. He's number two in my overall model, fourth in recent form. You know, loves Bermuda in general. Hasn't played this course, so that's probably the only kind of quote unquote knock on him. But at 6,900, he's playing well, and you know, top 10 in birdie or better approach game. He's second and sixth in the two approach stats I'm looking at, second in bogey avoidance. I just like everything about him. Cam Davis was my going back and forth between them. Cam's game is a little more volatile, so I like Sam a lot this week. And now if he gets a Wednesday night and Burns is 20% and Davis is 6% or something like that, that's a decision to be made. But just clean slate, I like Sam Burns this week a lot at that price.
Damn it, Gup, you took my boy.
I thought you'd go Higo. See, 6,300. I thought Higo's
kind of not quite the same Higo when I hit the wind ticket on him in South Carolina.
He's going to be massively owned at that price.
Yeah.
6,300. In our little industry, he's so hot and talked up, and you guys were on him early, and Mayo's guys have been on him for a while, so he's gonna be so talked up at that price that, you know, that's like I don't mind going to a Nina Bear. Now, is Higo shown better? Sure, but I'll pivot off some of those super high owned guys in that case, but Sam Burns is one as well, so you liked him as well, so I'm glad to hear that I just think that's a cheap price for him.
Yeah, you know, I think the a lot of people listening right now are like, well, why wouldn't you play Phil, right? At 66, he finished second here.
Yeah, I've written him up for one of my things today. Yeah, I went back and looked. I was like, man, I didn't realize he finished that well here. He's coming in with good – I mean, not great for him, but you never know with Phil, right? If he's not hitting fairways, he could be – I mean, because look, he got almost dead last 2 years ago. So, I mean, that's his variance. He could be second or last, so – but at that price, he's worth a few sprinkles for sure.
I think Cameron Davis at 69 is his first time WGC winner. I'll throw Davis in at 69. I like Siwoo at 64. How much does last week affect a Siwoo and a Sungjae? Like I those are, I think, valid questions, knowing that what's ahead is military service and this, and that's got to be a letdown. I would imagine it has to be, because they know, and I talked about this on the pod yesterday, was they know that when you leave this sport for 2 years, the chance of them coming back and getting back to this level of play is not going to be great. So, you know, what kind of letdown is there? Siwoo is certainly a name that I'm looking at. Yeah, I'm going to pass on Higo this week. You know, Jim Herman, he can ball strike you at 6,000. You know, he can. I certainly could see him finishing in the top 20. I think Kisner's starting to play better golf.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's an interesting name here. He's consistently been in that top 30 range. But I'll go with Cameron Davis. I'll go kind of ceiling here, 6,900, four rounds as my last pick. All right, good. But kind of like these condensed fields. You don't feel quite as overwhelmed, you know, in the 7,000s and 8,000s and 6,000. So, but this is a good tournament, folks. I say all the time, TPC Southwind, been there a couple of times. It's really a cool golf course. 7,200, par 70. So it is fairly long for a par 70. But you got to keep the ball out of the water. Got to keep it in front of you. 13 under. I think JT was last year when he won this. And then 10 under was second. There's a few guys at 10. So that kind of gives you an idea of the scoring. You're probably looking at low teens, mid teens. Memphis can be hot, high 80s Thursday, Friday, into the low 90s on Saturday, Sunday. Might be the hottest golf course that I've ever been on. The hottest place golf ever. Like, you stand on some of those tees, like you're gasping for air. Like, where is the oxygen?
The humidity here is it's very high. So it definitely will be a hot.
All right, Gup, good stuff. Thanks for coming back on the matchup here. Have a great day. And those Oklahoma Sooners coming to SEC land now, it sounds like.
They are. I can't wait for it. I'm looking forward to playing some. I'm just looking forward to a lot of those teams coming to Norman. It'll be a fun,
be awesome.
Fun games. Yeah,
be great. Yeah, absolutely. All right, football's near, but we got a lot more golf to talk about. We'll be back next week on the matchup. Stripe Show podcast tomorrow. Don't miss it. Froggy has Jim Furyk. So we go from Gup to Furyk. We've got you covered in every facet of the business. And you're the best, man. Talk to you later.
I just want to interrupt this interview real quick and give a shout out to my friends over at Encore Golf. Encore provides some of the most cutting-edge technology in a golf ball that I have ever seen. Their team in Buffalo, New York is changing the script of golf technology through their perimeter-weighted designs, which offer players enhanced accuracy and control for every shot on the course. With their award-winning Elixir and Avant 55 golf balls, they are transforming the game for players of all skill levels. Visit EncoreGolf.com/Travis Fulton for more details about their products that are revolutionizing the game. Now back to the Stripe Show.